This is a podcast about the manosphere, so it may contain references to extremist misogyny and violence, and it will definitely contain lots of swears.
Hello. If you're listening to this episode and wondering why you've seen it twice on the episode list, Aileen and I decided that this particular episode was worth a presence on the main feed due to its mind-boggling nature, for two reasons. Firstly, as I've just said, it's stuff that will confuse your brain. And secondly, we're planning on releasing another episode as a follow-up, which we will also release here on the main feed. Therefore, we thought we should release the first episode from behind the Patreon paywall, as it were. So, if you've already listened to the teaser episode from a couple of weeks ago, you'll be familiar with the first 10 minutes. However, the rest of it gets pretty wild. So, happy listening, and we hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome to Manosphere Debunked, the podcast where we debunk the manosphere. My name is Aileen Barrett.
And my name is Dan, otherwise known as the Narcissist Psychologist on Instagram.
And now I feel that that was too short an introduction.
Yeah, I thought it was going to carry on for longer, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I didn't want to give anything away about this episode.
Okay.
To you, because this week it is Aileen's revenge. I mean, it's not really, but I'm the person leading this bonus episode, and I wanted to be a surprise for you, Dan. But yeah, how are you anyway? You all right?
I'm good. I'm getting used to the fact that we can't see each other because my camera for some reason isn't working, so we're just having what would in the olden days be considered a telephone conversation.
Yeah, we're millennials, we can handle it. So today, it's been slightly spoiled because we were supposed to record this last week, because I did do a real replying to this set of humans. That's a weird thing to call them. I did do a real replying to this group of women last week, which I assume you've probably seen.
Yeah, I have seen, but I hadn't seen the full thing.
Okay, well, we're going to watch it right now. I will say that this is potentially not part of the manosphere, but if we're going to say trad wives are part of the manosphere, this is definitely manosphere adjacent, and it is definitely anti-feminist. Right, I am sending you a link.
The video.
I'm anti-feminist. Of course I birthed my baby at home.
I'm anti-feminist. Of course I track my menstrual cycle instead of taking toxic birth control.
I'm anti-feminist. Of course I healed my menstrual cycle with raw liver and beef after 8 years of veganism.
I'm anti-feminist. Of course I know I can do whatever a man can do. Why would I want to?
Okay.
Why would I want to? That was mean. So.
That was a very good impression of her.
So, they are anti-feminists. They are a group of women. This video pretty much went viral. Obviously, lots of people in the comments being like, are you dumb? It got like over 200,000 likes, which is more than any reel of mine's ever gotten. So, before we go any further, just to say, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this video for a bit, and then we're going to look at a few of the women who are in the video and stuff they've got on their own pages. And then we're going to see what's underneath their kind of wellness, earth mother vibes once you scratch the surface. So, and it's obviously just lovely and fine. But yeah, what do you make of it, the old video?
Well, I'm not sure it quite makes sense to me. Like, I don't get what choosing to have your child at home has to do with feminism.
I mean, I get what it has to do with feminism.
I don't understand what it has to do with being anti-feminist. Like, surely that's the point of feminism, isn't it? Is that you can have the freedom to choose whatever you want to be a vegan or do or don't take birth control pills, or the whole point is that you can if you want to. There are examples of why they're anti-feminist, or almost like the exact reason why feminism exists. I'm not quite sure if I've got that right, but
the consequences of feminism existing as well, is that's the real kicker, the real kick in the old vulva is that, yeah, the consequences of feminism, the movement away from home births, the movement into hospitals, like the medicalization of childbirth has been mm-hmm. like written about by midwives and academics for years, probably since mm-hmm. I don't know, like the 60s and 70s, when something happened, some kind of movement
yeah.
to do with like women.
Was it feminism by any chance?
It was. Well done. I give you 100 clever. Points.
Yay!
Yeah, so so there's that. Basically, you know, the childbirth was women's domain. I mean, obviously, a lot of women used to die in childbirth, more women mm-hmm. than do now. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't have give birth in hospitals. I gave birth in a hospital. But actually, most people I know who've had positive birth experiences gave birth at home. So there you go. Yeah. But yeah, anyway. But before that, before there was a kind of move towards, you know, women reclaiming that as a natural thing that your body does, there was this move to, yeah, to have births in hospitals. And this, by the way, was before male doctors, because they were all male, thought it might be a good idea to like wash your hands in between seeing patients or doing surgery. I don't know if you know about that.
No, I'm not very familiar with that. But I mean, that sounds gross and typical of the times, I imagine.
Yeah, so until like the mid-Victorian times, it was not necessarily a common practice for doctors to even wash their hands like after they'd done surgery.
Oh, right.
They'd just be like covered in blood and shit. I mean, blood and shit, probably.
Well, yeah, probably definitely both, depending on the nature of the surgery,
and then
right?
just spread around the germs. And there was a doctor who I can't remember his name, who like pioneered basically cleaning up and like was laughed out of the surgery. I don't know,
gosh, what a weirdo.
Yeah, and then one of the reasons that Florence Nightingale is so famous is because when she went to the Crimea and like took her nurses to the Crimea, they sanitized the hospital tents and shit. They like made it cleaner, because a lot of deaths during war, even on the battlefield in inverted commas, were from illnesses, from viruses, right? Cholera, things like that. So by just like doing some fucking cleaning, you could prevent deaths. So when birth was medicalized and doctors got involved, it wasn't like we were at a really advanced state of medicine.
Okay.
But yeah, like women have been reclaiming childbirth, whether that's in terms of midwifery, even in a hospital setting, for mm-hmm. decades now, as a consequence of feminism. So that's annoying. And then what was the next one?
Of course I track my menstrual cycle instead of taking toxic birth control.
Mm. Something worth saying at this point, when especially mentioning the birth control pill, is a lot of what these women say, or at least some of what each of them say, and they've all got kind of different focuses, is fine. Like, or even good. One of the women, I think her name is Get Real Girlfriend on Instagram, she talks a lot about tracking your menstrual cycle. That is something that women have been advocating.
Yeah.
There's lots of people who would define themselves as feminists who absolutely advocate for women being more informed about their own bodies, and who protest the fact that we only are really learning about female biology still in like 2024, and that is a good thing. And that, you know, the birth control pill has been over-prescribed probably and under-researched in terms of the problems that it causes, especially in terms of psychological, you know, emotional, hormonal regulation, because mm-hmm. I guess women are just, you know, we're just emotional, and for women not being taken seriously as well when they go to the doctor. And this mm-hmm. woman talks about that. She talks about being laughed out of doctor surgeries because she had problems with her periods, and so she kind of looked into kind of more natural ways to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Which is cool. Like, I have no problem with that. So I just wanted to kind of get out the gate and say some of this stuff is fine.
Yeah, well, I guess that's, like I was saying, that's why I was a bit confused at the start as to, like, why that's anti-feminist. Like,
We'll get there.
Okay. Take me down the rabbit hole, Aileen.
Yeah. Just to go back to the video, I mean, the thing about, of course, I healed my period after 8 years of veganism by eating raw liver. Yeah. Liver and raw beef, I think.
Yeah, my knowledge about whether that would be an actual thing that's possible is extremely limited.
Well, I mean, I don't give a shit. It's not my business what people eat. I'm vegetarian, well, pescatarian. I find if I'm on a vegan diet, I feel a bit anemic and stuff. If you were anemic, this would be a good way to be a pretty direct way to stop being anemic is to eat raw red liver. Meat. Not sure how good for you it is. They obviously think it's very good for you. Fine. There are some feminists who would say you should be vegan if you're a feminist because they believe that you should have solidarity with female animals that are farmed. That's a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. And I have had people have a go at me in my DMs because of like eating an egg. So, you know, whatever. But okay. But generally, I think most feminists would not prioritize this. They wouldn't be like, oh my God, you eat liver. You can't be in our gang. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We got bigger fish to fry.
I have a feeling most people would be like, what do you eat on a day-to-day basis? And somebody would say raw liver and they might go, ugh. Okay, that's not how I would spend my meals, but whatever.
Yeah, I think is the more. Yeah. But let me tell you this, Dan. If there is one thing that unites these women, apart from anti-feminism and wearing kind of bits of cloth wrapped around them in different ways to make dresses.
They all look like they're like from Hawaii or something.
They all look like hippies. They don't look like they're from Hawaii. They all look like they're white women living in places where indigenous people used to live. And exactly. Now they're like just like putting flowers in the hair and shit, right?
Yeah, it's a bit appropriatory.
We'll get there.
Sorry, I keep jumping ahead to things.
No, it's great. No, it's giving appropriation. It's going to get worse. So I don't know. Right. Do you know anything else about these women? Or are you going to be surprised about, oh, this is great. Cool. So I'm not clear on how they're all linked. I think they will all go to the same retreat. And I don't know if that's they just made content there together. Or if they all live in the same place. I don't know what we're talking about. But I'll tell you, yeah, apart from anti-feminism, cultural appropriation and drapey clothes, the thing that they will unite around is they bloody love meat, Dan. These girls, I tell you, there are so many videos of them eating like slabs of flesh. And I don't say that to be like a dramatic vegetarian.
Yeah.
Let me see if I've got a screenshot for you actually. Oh, here we go. Jesus Christ, this is I've come across a video and it makes me feel a bit sick, to be honest.
Oh really?
Yeah, but it's I think supposed to be a bit of a joke, but oh God, the screenshot didn't work. Right, I'm sending the whole video. I can't bother to watch it anymore.
Okay,
so this video, although it has loads of raw meat in it, is actually an advert for a supplement, which it's giving grift, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So can you describe it for the group? What you've just witnessed? I mean,
yeah, okay. So it was an advert for it where a guy sort of talks about going to a retreat in Mexico, I'm assuming.
A
biohacking retreat, yeah. And then he walks through the door and he just sees a whole bunch of people with, yeah, like you say, huge slabs of meat, and they're like licking it and sort of biting them, and he's sort of like gagging because it looks like, well, it's raw meat and yeah, like, it like, looks unappealing.
Like organs, isn't
yeah,
it?
Like organ parts of meat. And then he says something like, if you're struggling to hack the carnivore diet like me, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing these people are proponents of something like the carnivore diet, which is literally like where you just eat meat and nothing else.
I don't know if, but they definitely eat a lot of meat.
I'm not gonna lie, as far as supplement videos go, that was probably the least appealing fucking supplement video I've ever seen in my life.
But it does mean you don't have to eat those raw brains that were in the video.
Blech. Okay,
anyway,
sure.
So they're just really into meat, and it that kind of thing is always giving grift to me because it often revolves around selling supplements to people, telling people that like this is the best way. It also reminds me of Jordan Peterson's beef diet, which I think we've talked about.
Yeah, that's why it struck me, because he and his daughter are strong advocates of the carnivore diet.
Yeah, it's a kind of weird manosphere thing. There's also the Liver King. Have you heard of the Liver King?
I have heard of the Liver King. Yeah. Immediately when you started talking about this woman, sort of, what was it? What did she do? She sorted out her menstrual cycle by eating liver. Is that what it is? Yeah. As soon as you mentioned that, I kind of thought of the Liver King and his whole spiel.
Could you just say who the Liver King is?
So I didn't really know who he was completely, but I'm aware that he was a hugely jacked man who claimed to eat only like pure raw meat, particularly liver. And that was how he became massively stacked and like really, really like bodybuilder-esque huge. But apparently it turned out to be a complete scam and he was found out to like heavily be using steroids to achieve the body that he was having. And actually it had nothing to do with all the meat that he was eating.
Yeah, or at least it wasn't like wholly down to that. And he sold supplements off of his whole spiel about being the Liver King. He's being sued now. I don't know if the lawsuit, it was, well, in January 2023, he was being sued by his followers for kind of being fraudulent, basically. And that's why I say it gives grift, because I'm not saying that anybody, and there's a reason, pretty obvious reason why I'm not saying this. I'm not saying that anybody with an Instagram account who tries to make a living is a grifter, right? I think it's fine to sell courses. You know, there's one of the women sells a very reasonably priced course about how to track your menstrual cycle. I imagine that there's probably some upselling that goes on in that course, but whatever, you know, sell things like that. But when you're getting your affiliate links off of supplements that may or may not actually do what you say they do, when you're kind of selling a lifestyle that isn't really accessible to most people, then I think that's quite grifty, because it's taking advantage of people. It's not necessarily giving them value.
Or then kind of like just essentially lying to people like the Liver King was and saying that is what he's doing is down to these supplements only, but then he's actually behind the scenes like injecting himself with steroids. I think he was that. I'm not entirely sure of the entire story, but
allegedly,
I think that was,
let's just say allegedly.
Sorry. Allegedly, that's what he was doing. Yes.
Well, this is a bonus episode, so this by this time we'll probably be behind a paywall. So I don't think you'll subscribe to our Patreon. We'll probably be okay.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. So there's that, and then there's the woman who just says, "Of course, I can do what a man could do, but why would I want to?" And there's no really explanation of what that is that a man can do that you wouldn't want to do. Yeah. I don't know what they're talking about, because a lot of these women seem to be completely financially independent, or at least very well off. So they're not talking about the kind of the more sort of, I don't know, sanitized right wing men are providers, women are producers of babies type vibe, but they kind of are as well. It's a whole thing.
It's a part of the internet and maybe sort of manosphere adjacent that I was not aware of.
Yeah, so it's weird how much grift there is in the wellness industry. There's a lot of people. I mean, I'm just gonna say it. Am I gonna say it? Ooh, yeah, I'll say it because this is a bonus episode. It's really striking how much grift there is in the wellness industry and how many people are effectively selling products that don't have scientific basis, and how much money they make off of it. And you know, a lot of these people are the kind of people who go on the Stephen Bartlett podcast. You know, sometimes he has great people on. He had the sex doctor on recently, but he often has people who are selling things that don't work, or just making false claims, and he just kind of, you know, gives them a platform and then probably uses affiliate links to make money off of it. For those of you who don't know what affiliate links are, because I'm going to probably mention them more than once, affiliate links are just a thing where you have to declare them online. If you ever see something of mine that says afflink, that's what it means, where basically if you recommend a product and you have a link to it or a discount code, you get a percentage of, you get a commission basically. So I have some affiliate links for some different products and I've made about £150 over 3 years, you know, something like that. Something, because I'm an absolute baller. But, you know, people who really push this stuff can make lots and lots of money. Yeah. And especially if you're pushing expensive stuff, my affiliate links is like to organic deodorant and like a nice face serum that costs £19, you know. So my 5% is not going to really do much, but I appreciate it. And I only kind of do it because I think that these things are good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what affiliate link is. And that's what these people are doing. A lot of their, if you go to the links in their bio, they've all got some kind of brand that they're promoting, and they're mostly promoting some kind of food supplement. And, you know, these people are young and pretty and thin, and they live in the tropics. So I think that might be why they look really healthy and happy.
I was going to say, so they look a particular way, and if you can look a particular way that is aligned with what the supplement or food brand or whatever it is that you're pushing, then you're probably more likely to get a whole lot more of affiliate clicks, aren't you?
Yes, indeed, yeah. So let's look at some of these women a little bit more individually now.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many rabbit holes we could go down, Dan, that maybe we'll do a second bonus episode on this because
it's When you started this, did you quite know how ridiculous it was going to be?
I thought this would be a really quick one, just like lol. And then I kept going and it was like, Jesus Christ, on a bike. One of the other women in this reel, her handle is Rewild Carly Rose. So it's kind of about, you know, going back to nature. That's the kind of vibe it gives. She talks about growing your own fruit and, you know, growing your own food and raising your own food and things like that. A lot of them, you know, they've got this kind of earth mother going back to nature vibe, but I think they're all incredibly wealthy. I don't think any of them are actually living off the land. They might grow things that they eat, but that's not the same as living off the land, right?
Like, that's not completely how they're sustaining like their finances and everything that they eat. They're probably getting income from elsewhere. Affiliate links.
Yeah. So this is Carly Rose's, this is a reel. I think it might be a pinned reel on her Instagram. I'm going to send it to you as just a screenshot of it. And I'd like you to read it out for us.
Okay.
And so it starts fine.
Yeah. So it says, "Hi, I am Carly Rose. I have always been called an old soul. 3 years ago, I was engaged to an abusive man. I left him and lost $100,000+. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I had eating disorders for 15 plus years and was vegan. I love raw milk and beef liver. I love talking about ancestral living and freedom. My goal is to make $50,000 plus a month by 2025. I believe wealth is spiritual." Okay. Right. I'm not okay. "I run a six-figure business online and support others becoming financially nourished. My dream equals buy land for people to come visit and restore their well-being with homesteading, earth skills, and quantum health." Okay. Yeah. Right. It started off as a fairly sensible, tragic story of somebody who was obviously, you know, in a relationship and having their difficulties, and then kind of just quickly spiraled into something that doesn't quite make sense.
Yeah, it really takes a turn. One thing that really strikes me is that she was able to leave an abusive fiance as an anti-feminist, and that's just makes me want to have a rant, but I'm not going to because, like I said, rabbit holes. But obviously that's horrible, and the fact that she was suffering from eating disorders, you know, any kind of restrictive diet can be used by people who have eating disorders, you know, as a kind of conduit of that. So I can see how veganism would actually be harmful for her if she was using it as part of her restrictive disordered eating, right? She seems to have found something. She's found a life that makes her happy and feel free. Fantastic. Wonderful.
Yeah. Sounds really good. Yeah.
Great. And then immediately it's, I aim to, by the way, you read that out so like seriously and didn't go, what? I was very proud of you because I aim to make $50,000 a month.
I know. Well, you know, these are her goals. I was just trying to give her goals the respect they deserve, maybe, even though $50,000 a month by 2025. Yeah. I mean, firstly, that's like, that's an impressive goal. How much is she making at the moment? Like, what's the leap that she's expecting to make? Like, is she currently on just like a grand a month, but then hoping to, you know, exponentially increase that?
Well, this is the wealth grifter's grift, right? Is that you say that you're wealthy and you sell people programs in order to learn how to be wealthy like you. And that's how you get wealthy, right?
Yeah, so
this
is an
Andrew Tate's vibe, you know, join the war room, get into, you know, this kind of thing. It's like, essentially, you're making the money from people giving you money to teach them how to make money.
Yeah, it screams pyramid vibes, pyramid scheme
very
vibes.
MLM. And yeah, like the contradiction, or what I think is a contradiction, between your aim being to earn 50 grand a month and being spiritual and homesteading and having earth skills. I don't know what the fuck quantum health is, but homesteading, you live on a homestead, you live off the land. You don't earn 50 grand on the side per month, right? And it's real, this real kind of white privileged reimagining of being like back to nature, but you're rich. And like, that's love. Great. Have a nice life. But that is not a life that is available to most people. And it can't be in this current system. And that's not, the system isn't feminism. The system is, well, patriarchy, essentially, but like capitalism, white supremacy, right? It's just a really interesting contrast. I don't really have any like conclusion to make about her. I just think it doesn't sit well with me.
Also, I like the use of becoming financially nourished as a euphemism for
rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, like piss financially, money up the wall rich, yeah.
Financially nourished.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind being financially nourished.
Yeah. She's got another video where she might not be her. There's one video where they they're all sitting with their backs to us, and they're apparently all like putting red light therapy on their private parts together. So there's that's I don't have anything else to say about
that's
that.
That's not very homesteady though, is it? Red UV light, that's not of nature.
Well, I mean, probably it does exist in nature, but yeah, once again, potentially they are contradicting themselves. They also seem to be really anti-vegetable oils, like it's I don't know. I just there's too many things. Okay.
Yeah, it all seems very strange.
Yeah, but it's a moneymaker. Now, talking of white supremacy and cultural appropriation,
yeah,
as we sort of were, let's move on to what's her name? Shannon Michaela is her title. And some of our listeners may be familiar with this. This is the woman who said, I'm anti-feminist. Of course I birthed my baby at home.
Is she Australian? Because there's a slight Australian hint when you did
she
that
is Australian.
Accent. Okay.
Yeah, that's literally, I was just doing an impression, babes.
Very good.
So she made a video a little while ago about birth tourism.
Okay.
Essentially going to another country, giving birth there, a country where the law says your baby then immediately has citizenship. Okay. And potentially the parents also can have citizenship as well if the baby was born there.
Right.
Right.
So is this what she's done, or she just made a post about it?
Oh, yeah. It is what she's done. But also, the irony of it all is like how people who come from poorer countries, say a country like, for example, Costa Rica, who would come to the USA or the UK to give birth and then expect their kid to have citizenship. The way they would be talked about is pretty
pejorative. They would not be they would be called all manner of slurs about sort of coming into a country and trying to take advantage of the benefits of that particular country.
And she caught some flack, but let's just but let's just watch. So she caught some flack, she made a video about it, she's got a whole information pack for people, which I think they have to pay for. I can't remember
about how to do it
and like what the laws are in different countries and what the best countries are to do it. And they're all very much, you know, underdeveloped countries.
Right.
Or under, I don't know what the right word is really, but you know, global majority countries that don't have, you know, the wealth or at least the money. They might have the wealth, but we extract it, you know. And so she got a lot of slack, funnily enough, and then she made this response video.
Okay, so, we're going to watch it now.
A few weeks ago, I posted a video so controversial that it was picked up by all the biggest news and media companies on the planet.
And an Aussie influencer has stirred up a lot of controversy by travelling to Costa Rica in order to give birth. It's been described as New Age colonialism.
I've been documenting our journey on social media, and my videos have been seen by tens of millions of people. But unfortunately, I've received incredible amounts of hate, racism, slurs, and false reports to CPS. Who knew that immigration could be so controversial?
All right, let's just pause it there.
Okay.
Because the rest of it is basically her first video where she explains what birth tourism is and like why you should do it type thing.
Okay.
Let's just take a moment for this moment in social media where this white woman is standing in front of a camera holding burning sage, which is a Native American tradition, saging mm-hmm. effectively the person looking at the camera, mm-hmm. right? Like she's saging the camera. So
yeah.
And saying the words, "Who knew that immigration could be so controversial?" And I don't know if it's a joke. I don't know if she's knowingly saying that, but Jesus Christ, Mary, Joseph and the wee donkey.
But also, the thing that struck me was mm-hmm. that she was almost like being her own PR manager, mm-hmm. like talking about how viral it went, you know, how many views and whatever, slightly less concerned by the hate that she received and more about like, oh my God, look how widespread this went.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she does say she's got abuse and slurs, and then in the video, there's a sort of carousel of in inverted commas, hate comments. I don't think they're slurs. People do call her white quite a lot, which I think is true. And people do say that
it's accurate. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to send you one of the tweets that she puts up. I screenshotted, so I'm going to send that to you now.
Okay.
It says, this is one of her, like, you know, abusive tweets. "The truth is, you can't be racist to white people. You're exhibiting colonizer behavior and people are calling you out on it. And here you have a legion of gentrifiers crying with you and your fake plight, literally white women tears because you don't like hearing the truth." That's hilarious to me that she's put that on her own story, on her own reel, because it just seems like quite a reasonable
thing. I mean, yeah, like, I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a slur or in any mm-hmm. way racial. It's literally just, yeah.
Telling her she's obviously a person who thinks that saying you can't be racist to white people is racist, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Like, so that's fun. But she's taken her and her white husband and their white baby to give birth in Costa Rica so that her baby can have a passport there. She also has set up, I don't know if she's set up, but she does. She's also offering retreats to Costa Rica. They're called creator retreats. They're basically for like wellness influencers like her. I think it might have been one of those that these four women were at that made the original reel that we talked about. Mm-hmm. And guess what? If you can guess what is involved in these retreats, that is very much like a manosphere griftery type thing that you sort of associate with dude bros who will like be like, "Have you? You should get into this."
Sorry, the only thing I can think about is crypto.
It is crypto.
No, fuck yes. off, really.
Yes. Well oh done. Ding, ding, ding.
There's a retreat that focuses on crypto.
Well, it doesn't focus on crypto, but when they do the kind of trailer for it, they say it's powered by Bitcoin. So it's like the retreat that they go to, everybody pays in Bitcoin.
Okay.
It's, well, no, I don't think for the retreat, don't get me wrong. They're taking cash money for that. You can also make posts for the brand partners of the retreat in order to reduce the amount you spend. It's like a 6-night thing in Costa Rica.
So if they make branding for the event, then they pay less. So to promote
for the
event,
sponsors
they pay
of
less.
The event. So the event itself has like sponsors, not just Bitcoin, but other stuff.
Investments.
Yeah.
6-night stay in Uvita, Costa Rica. $3,000 to $6,000 US. Uh-huh. If you're a creator, choose how much you pay by creating some sponsored posts for our brand partners.
Yeah. So this is a money-making dream, right?
As far as I'm aware, that's pretty much exactly what you had to do for Andrew Tate's Hustler University, hadn't you? You had to, part of what you were doing and part of the fees and all that kind of stuff was to take his clips and put them on the internet and effectively market him.
I don't think that was part of the fees. I think he paid people, he got people to pay him 50 quid a month to essentially be told that if they made accounts that chopped up his controversial content, they could make money off like TikTok Creator Fund and YouTube and stuff like that. Oh. But it was like a self-promotion.
But they didn't necessarily get any less money off the fees in the way that this implies.
Yeah, I don't think they got money off the fees for it. No, not at all. No. They would have made money. They could have made money, you know, by viral clips and stuff.
Gosh.
And this woman, Shannon Michaela, she's got loads of Bitcoin content. They went to a thing called in El Salvador, a week spent living off Bitcoin in El Salvador. We loved it so much, we're moving here, because you can do what the fuck you want, babes, because you're a rich white person and it's annoying. And obviously they just think that that's like they're people being mean and racist when they say that white people can't just have babies and move to Costa Rica and start businesses and pay local farmers in Bitcoin. Do you know what I mean?
Is that why they want to go and have babies in a different country so that they can then go live there and become citizens to then set up businesses? Because in my head, if you just wanted to travel to another country with your family, you would just do what everyone else does and just like apply for a visa or whatever you need to go there on your passport. Like, it seems really ridiculous to travel all the way there specifically to have a child in another country so that country, I mean, so that that child can then have a passport for that country. It seems ludicrous. It seems very wild.
Yeah, 100%.
And I don't understand. I can't conceptualize the reason as to why you would want to do that.
Well, it makes sense if you want to essentially exploit.
But yeah, but is that the reason for it? Is to exploit the...
Oh, well, I mean, I couldn't tell you. But I think that they definitely, I mean, that's one of the things they're doing is going and having retreats in these countries and essentially, you know, promoting this lifestyle, which is kind of living in the beautiful jungle and eating raw meat, seems to be. Right. There's one reel of these four, actually it's not these four women, it's someone else just like on the beach cheersing with raw meat. It's...
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's lovely and funny. But yeah, I was going to show you one more thing. Well, I was going to show you a few more things, but I don't know if we've got time really. So
no, this is taking up all the podcast time that we have.
Yeah. I think we should do another episode because Shannon Michaela, I have debunked a few of her videos before, because she is a conspiracy theorist. So spoiler alert. So you were saying, like, I don't understand how this is anti-feminist. And even if you look at, like, their business models and their kind of colonialism, there are plenty of people who think they're feminists who are also kind of racist and colonialist minded and business minded, right? There's a lot of kind of white feminism going on there, but they are like anti-feminist, right? They think that what they're doing is somehow against the feminist movement because they think the feminist movement is, I don't know, taking the contraceptive pill and eating meat. And the thing is, when you scratch the surface, all of these women, well, at least two of these women. And the reason that these women basically think that they're being anti-feminist is that they think that feminism is a scam, that it's essentially... feminism and medicine and modern education and pretty much everything that is part of the modern, what I would say the capitalist establishment, is a kind of control tactic of the puppet master Rockefeller, who took over many things in the mid-century and pushed the pharmaceutical industry and stuff like that. And yeah, that's what they think. So that's fun.
I'm not going to lie. This has been a rabbit hole that doesn't quite make sense to me.
No. Like,
I am quite confused still by all of this.
Yeah. Because it's confusing.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, nothing. I know it feels like you've thrown a whole lot of things at me that these individuals maybe. Like that maybe makes sense in these individuals' minds, but literally makes no sense to me whatsoever. Like, I can't quite compute how any of what they are doing translates into like a constructive and productive way to live your life. I know that sounds really judgmental, but it honestly blows my mind.
I don't think it's that judgmental. I think that it is pretty accurate, and I do think that they have a coherent belief system in their own heads. And I think they think they're being very anti-establishment. But the problem with them is, and this will be the conclusion of this one, but I think, should we do part two bonus episode where I talk to you about their Rockefeller conspiracy theories?
Absolutely. I mean, I am willing to be even more confused by these people.
I mean, it might make you go, oh, right, that's why they believe all this shit. The problem with these women, right, and the problem with, and the men that they're with, and, you know, this kind of whole out, oh, you know, we're outside of the whole, you know, the system thing, is that the reason that they can do these things, the reason they can move to Costa Rica, the reason that they can, you know, choose to do lots of things, different things with their bodies, they have this financial independence, is because A, there was feminism that meant women have a bit more agency in the world than they used to,
and B, they're fucking rich,
and B, they're fucking rich and white and privileged in lots of ways, and they know how to hack the systems because the systems are built for them.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, they're not living outside the system at all.
No, and it's not really hacking the system if you have the capacity to, you know, move through it.
Exactly. It's, you know, there are not barriers to their movements in the world the way that there are to, I was going to say 98% of people. Because it's not just them being white and it's not just them being rich. It's the nice combination of the two, although, to be fair, most of the rich people in the world are probably white. But, it's just contradictory nonsense and I shall not stand for it, Dan.
No, nor should you.
And I do apologise that we haven't been able to record all of this in one episode, but you can be excited for the next Patreon episode. For all those listening right now, thank you for being our patrons. We hope you don't feel grifted by us.
Okay.
Right, I've got to go.
No worries. Cool. Chat to you soon.
Batch
have a good
crazy
evening.
In it, though.
Oh my God. Mind blowing.
Yeah.
Mind blowing.